If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 10 and go down to verse 15. Colossians chapter 2, beginning verse 10. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This morning I want us to consider verse 10. Ye are complete in him. I want us to think about the fact that we are complete in Jesus. The world surrounding the saints at Colossae was a world full of many heresies and many false philosophies. Our world is different than their world, but in many ways it is similar, for we are bombarded also with heresies and false philosophies that have infiltrated our world, infiltrated our society, infiltrated our homes, our ways of thinking, if we're not careful, can infiltrate our churches even. We find in this world humanism, secularism, mysticism, evolution, critical race theory, Gnosticism, Arminianism. The list goes on and on. When we're bombarded with it. We turn on our radios, our TVs, when we get on the internet, read books, look at magazines, go to schools, talk to people outside, and sometimes even discuss things among other Christians. What is the answer to all of this? When we could argue against the falsity of these systems, but we could also take the approach that Paul does here in this text. I want us to realize that any time that you're bombarded or any time that you come across a false philosophy or a heresy, the answer isn't go home and study out that false system. Although you could do that, the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is to present the truth of Jesus. So here, in the book of Colossians, you have these saints of God, who were trying to stand for the truth. They're bombarded by all these, and they're surrounded by all these false ideas, this false system, worldly system. And what do they have? They have the truth. And here we are, In the eyes of the world, very small. I don't even like the word. What is small? When we think of small, we're thinking in the terms of the world. For you know what? When we think of churches, we should stop thinking of churches in terms of worldly things. Do you realize that if it's the Lord's church, regardless of the number, it's a great church, as long as it's the Lord's church. A church could be overflowing with people and be insignificant if it's full of heresy and full of false philosophy and full of all the things of the world. But yet we look at it from the world's standpoint and we say, oh, that's a large church. But wait a minute, is it the Lord's church? If it's not the Lord's church, it's not a large church at all. We see a small church, a church that's maybe got a dozen members or whatever, and we look at that and say, oh, that's a small church. But if it's the Lord's church, it's a great church. You see what I'm trying to say here? Paul says to them, you are complete in Him. You are complete in Christ. Dear child of God, you and I, we may be outnumbered in the world. But regardless of what the world may throw at us, regardless of what the world may throw at you, regardless of what the world may show in numbers compared to Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, as long as we're standing on the Word of God, we have Christ. And that's all we need. That's all we need. If you are saved today, though you stand alone out there in the world, you have everything that you need in Jesus. When you're out there at school, when you're out there at work, when you're wherever you find yourself, you have all you need in Jesus. Forget about the numbers. Forget about the things that the world says matters, and just realize that you are complete in Jesus. That we have all we need in Jesus. And that's encouraging. That's encouraging. If you go back a few pages to the book of Acts, hold your place there in Colossians. We may be back there a little bit later, but in Acts chapter 4, looked through the wrong lens. Hold your place in Acts. We will be there. But let's go back a few more pages to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Going down to verse 9. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Here's a man, an impotent man, the pool of Bethesda. He had no one to help him. He was incomplete. He had no one to help him. He was unable to walk, unable to help himself, no one to help him. Jesus said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt you be made complete?" The impotent man said, "I have no man to put me into the pool." When the opportunity arises, another steps down before me. No one is here to help me. At the right opportunity, it's there and gone. The angel's there, and the troubling of the water, and then I lose my opportunity. Jesus says to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. You see, there was no man. There was no way for him, no hope. But Jesus made him whole. And I want you to think about this for a moment and to realize that Jesus was what he needed. Jesus was what he needed. In Acts chapter 4, we go there where I started to go a moment ago in verses 9 through 12. Let's go up just in Acts chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. He says, If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. This is a different impotent man. Be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Here's this impotent man who was healed, standing before them whole. Peter, as he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he said to them the words that we read here in Acts chapter 4. This man stood before them whole. He was complete. And as he told them about it, he said, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now you might ask, what does this have to do with our text, with these two physical examples, these two impotent men that were healed? What happens to these two in the physical sense is a good example of what Jesus does in a spiritual sense. They were healed, and they were healed completely. They were made complete. And you and I, what happened to those men in the physical sense, you and I have seen this happen time and time again in the spiritual sense. And yea, indeed, if you are here today, saved by the grace of God, you too have been made complete in Christ spiritually. He heals completely physically. He heals completely spiritually. He's been doing this for generations. Going back to Psalms chapter 51. in the Old Testament. In the 51st Psalm, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. When David sinned against God, that terrible sin that he committed with Bathsheba, he cried out, create in me a clean heart. What is a clean heart? What is a clean heart? Not a heart that David could give himself. Not something he could do for himself. Not something that Nathan could do for him. It was a complete heart. Only could be found in and through Jesus Christ. That's why he cried out to God. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. A heart without spot or blemish. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. In Jesus, we have all that we need. Oh, beloved, you and I that have been saved, we are made new. We are a new creature. We've been made whole. We've been made complete. We're complete in Jesus. You think about it this way. If I were to go to see Dr. Lee, Dr. Lee sees me because I'm sick with some great sickness. He gives me some medication. And after a little while, he cures me of my ailment because of the medicine that he gives me. That medicine and that doctor have done what they should have done, right? I don't need to go see another doctor. I don't need any more medicine. Because the medicine and that doctor have done what they're supposed to do. And I praise the Lord for the doctor. And I praise the Lord for the medicine. And I thank God for what they've done. But it would do me no good to go and seek another doctor after I've been healed from this disease. And to go and look for another doctor and find more medicine. In fact, if I were to go look for another doctor and look for more medicine, it might have the opposite effect. It would probably do my body harm if I've already been healed from my sickness. You and I, spiritually, we've got all we need in Christ. We have no need to go somewhere else. The world offers all sorts of other things. Why should we go somewhere else? Why should we go to someone else to get something else when Jesus has all we need? We are complete in Christ. We have all we need in Him. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, Jesus had come down into the world. He was born of a virgin, and you know what he was born here to do? He was born here to die. And he went willingly to the cross. We'll pick up the narrative right there at verse 28. Says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. In other words, set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled the sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Notice Jesus there on the cross as he died. He cried out. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Signifying that he had completed the work necessary for the salvation of his people. Jesus died not simply to just make an offer, but to save his people. He had died there. He had made the sacrifice. He paid the sin debt. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You see, beloved, he finished it. Complete. In Jesus. It is finished. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews here. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, let me stop there. When you see that word wherefore, you need to go back and see what it's there for. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great roll call of the heroes of faith. I'll not break down everything about Hebrews chapter 12 here, but when he talks about that sin that doth so easily beset us, what's the primary sin that he's talking about here? I believe that primary sin he's talking about is unbelief. That sin that doth so easily beset us. Oh, beloved, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay it aside and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You and I, we are complete in Jesus. Thank God it's not about our faith in Him. Praise the Lord that it's about Him being the author and the finisher of our faith. You know something? My faith wavers. My faith is often weak. My faith is often hard to find. But praise God, it's not all about my faith. Praise God, it's about the object of my faith. That's what matters. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. You realize that if my salvation was based solely upon my faith, how wobbly and weak that is sometimes. But oh, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. You say, wait a minute, preacher, it says our faith. Yeah, but I know if it's our faith, it's mine's in there somewhere. He's the author and finisher of my faith. And you can read it that way for yourself too. If you've been saved, He's the author and finisher of your faith. John Owen, one of my favorite writers, he's deep. He's deep. He's real deep. But sometimes we need that when we read, don't we? He said, the completer or perfecter, the finisher, the word is commonly used in this epistle for that which is complete or perfect in its kind. My faith isn't perfect, but, you know, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. This is how I know that heaven is for sure going to be my home. Heaven is for sure one day going to be mine. That one day I'll go through the eternal ages with Jesus. Not because of what I'm doing, but because of what He's done. Because He's the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm complete in Him. Jesus, when He died on the cross, He said, "It is finished." He didn't leave from the cross and say, "Well, I've done it. I hope David will someday believe." No. You see, I'm complete in Christ. Christ wasn't waiting for His work to be completed when someday I would believe on Him. No. You see, we sometimes people get it all backwards. We're complete in Him. His work was finished. When we look at it this way, the way that the Bible puts it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and begin to bring this to a close. I want us to look at it this way, and I want to leave you with this thought. This glorious thought this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. This verse is sometimes called Paul's John 3:16. It says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You and I are complete in Him. Think of it this way. This is what happened. When Jesus was on the cross, the Father looked at the Son, His only begotten Son, And he saw the sin and the wickedness and the evilness. He saw you and he saw me. You understand that? For in him, in Jesus, there was no sin. There was no wickedness. But what he saw was you and me. And the anger and the wrath of Almighty God came out upon God, upon Christ. Was poured out upon him. On the cross. Oh, if we would learn to hate our sins, the sins that put Christ on the cross. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because love held him there. He took our penalty. He died on the cross, paying our sin debt, what we owed. And now today, because Jesus was obedient to the cross, he died, was buried, and rose again. Because of what Jesus did, now when God looks at us, you ready for this? Verse 21, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. The first part is what happened at the cross. Second part, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This great transaction has taken place. So that now, when God looks at us, he sees his Son. He sees the righteousness of his Son. When we sin, when we do wrong, it is a great grace of God that he doesn't just wipe us off the face of the earth in his anger. The only reason why he doesn't is because what Christ has done. You understand that? We are complete in Christ. Paul says, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We are complete in Christ, but it doesn't give us the ticket to sin. But truly, we have all we need in Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we take and we pair these two great doctrines up together. The sufficiency of the Word and being complete in Christ. Because he lives, we also live. And we have this great abundant life in Christ. Oh, if you are here today, and if you are listening to this sermon online, and you have never repented and trusted in Christ, you aren't complete. The only way to be complete, the only way to be made whole, is through Jesus Christ. Truly, all we have, all we could ever want, ever need, is in Him. May God add a blessing to His Word.